about the star. And the reason why I struggled with it, because you would think that if something that magnificent happened, that there would be historical records of it. When I was a child, I'd look at the manger scene, and I would see baby Jesus, and you'd see the shepherds, and you'd see the wise men that all came together. Then I recognized and realized what the Bible says, because when it talks about the birth of Jesus, he was born in a stable place in a manger. Then when the wise men came, they went to the house where Jesus was. I kind of struggled with that a little bit. Then, maybe they came about a year later. So I always viewed the star that was over where Jesus was born, and then eventually went over to the house and where Jesus was and just stayed there. And you go, wait a minute, but wouldn't there be a record of that, something that significant that would happen? You would go, wait a minute, surely Josephus would talk about a star that had shone over Bethlehem for 1 year. So I struggled with that until this week. And things made sense. You ever do that with the Bible? You struggle with something that just doesn't make sense, and all of a sudden something becomes very clear. Anything happened this week that was significant? Anybody know what I'm referring to? The star what? I can't hear you. The star came back. The star of Bethlehem came. Let me show you some of the stars that actually are there. Or some of the pictures that actually were taken of this star. And actually, it was not a star. What it was the coming together of two planets. Jupiter and Saturn came together. Anybody see that? I'm not talking about that specific day, because with our luck, we would have it that that's the day that it would be cloudy in our area. But did you notice that that you would have Jupiter and then you'd have Saturn that just kept wandering closer and closer and closer? And eventually they came together, and then the next day I saw it and just came further apart. When it came together, this is what we saw. In Norrisville, North Carolina, someone took a picture of the star here. Fiji, I don't know, why does Fiji always have the best nighttime pictures? You ever notice that? If you want a picture of the sky or something like that, go to Fiji. Polly, that's where we're going next, is to Fiji. Okay, so anyway, look at this. The beauty of the moon and the star, or the planets that are together. Hubble telescope. Yeah, I don't know. Can you see it too well up here? But up here I can see that you have Jupiter and Saturn. You can actually see the rings of Saturn there. Can you see that from out there? Just a magnificent thing from South Africa. Ball State University. By the way, I was wrong last week when I talked about it. I said it comes every 800 years. It just comes when the cycles are right. The last time that the planets came together was 800 years ago. The next time the planets, Jupiter and Saturn, come together will be 2080. So a lot of our young people will see it that are here, because that'll be 60 years from now. Our older people, me, I would be 117 years old if I did that. I don't think so. There aren't too many people who live that long. But the one that really gave me chills was this one. Star over Bethlehem. One of my college friends posted it. Someone else had posted it. But this is the star over Bethlehem. And I got kind of like, whoa! It kind of brought chills to me when I actually saw that. So I thought about this. I said, could this have been the star? Now, in this section of the sermon, I'm going to give you my opinion. All right? Which means I could be wrong, even though it's not too often that I'm wrong. Yeah, but I'm just giving you my opinion based upon what I've read this week, because it's like everything came together. It made sense. You see, we got to go back to the book of Daniel. And here you have Daniel. Anybody remember when we talked about him a couple months ago? Here we have Daniel that was an exile that went over into a foreign land. And in Daniel chapter 2, he interpreted a dream. And because he interpreted a dream in Babylon, he became the chief of all the wise men in Babylon. And the wise men at that time were called magi. What did the wise men do? They were essentially astronomers that would look into the sky and look at and see how things came together and whatnot. And in fact, it even said that, it says that in one section in the book of Daniel, it says that God is, the God of Daniel is the God of gods. Okay? So here we have Daniel. He is now the chief of the Magi, according to Daniel chapter 5. As a result of that, he was given authority, and if he's the chief of the Magi, he's also in charge of what they are learning. So if you're an Israelite, and you're a Jew, and you really believe that God is God and Jehovah is Jehovah, what are you going to teach them? You're going to teach them the Torah, you're going to teach them what you have up to that point of the Old Testament. So God gave them access to all the counsel and all the words of Jehovah, including one that's very important. Because 1,000 years before Daniel, there was another ruler, or another key biblical figure. His name was Moses. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And while they were wandering, they came to the area where the king of Moab, also known as Balak, paid a prophet named Balaam to put a curse on the Jews. And this is recorded in Numbers chapter 22 to 24. And Balaam, first he refused to do it, but the money finally got good enough and he decided to do it. So he went out to put a curse on the Jews and the Israelites, and this is what he said. The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of the one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, whose eyes are open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Here's the key. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. And so here's the prophecy of the coming of the star that's going to proclaim the coming of the coming of the Messiah. So 500 years before, or 1,000 years before, you had this prophecy that was given. And so Daniel knew that. And he also knew that they were astrologers and whatnot, the Magi. So what do you think he was telling them over and over again? Hey, the time's coming, and you will see it in the sky. And a time is coming that the star will come and will rise up, and that's when the Messiah, the King of the Jews, is going to be born. So for 500 years, that's being taught over and over and over again. Do we have anything that we're being taught over and over and over again that has not happened yet in the church? Do we? Oh, yes, we do. What is it? The second coming of Jesus Christ. We have been told over and over and over, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Someday it's going to happen. When? I do not know. I am not going to predict it. It could be in my lifetime. Maybe it's not. But it will happen when God is ready. But I think of these magi being taught this over and over again. Watch. Watch, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. 450 years, constantly, it's coming. 450 years, it's coming. It's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then they look up in the sky and they see something very unique that's happening. They see this star, we call a planet, Jupiter, and then they see another star, Saturn, that they were wanderers, by the way, and they notice it's starting to come together. Something significant is happening. It's starting to come together, just like what we saw this week. A star is coming together, and then eventually it comes together, boom, and they see what we see here. And just like that Magi that we saw, now I don't think he was surprised by it. I think they saw it coming and they were watching it. But it's like, wow. It's happening. This is it. What we have been told about for 450 years has finally happened. Now, once again, but the planet went apart. Didn't make any sense to me until I read about, I just lost his first name, Kepler. Yosha Kepler, I believe, something similar to that. He's from the 1600s. He's the one that talked about this. He discovered it, well, he didn't discover it was happening, but he was talking a lot about it. And he actually tracked it back to when this happened. Okay? Did it happen during the time of Jesus and Jesus' birth? The answer is yes. The date that he set was December 7th, 7 BC. What are we saying when Jesus was born? We're not saying that Jesus was born at zero. The church pretty much says that Jesus was born between 6 and 4 BC. Right there. Okay, now let's go further. It doesn't make, once again, the Magi follow the star. So that means that the planets had to come together until I read this that Kepler brought out. 1 year later, which is about how long it took for the Magi to get there, there was another alignment that happened. And that had to do with Mars. And I read this and it's just like, it makes sense. Here you have the star. They knew something happened in Jerusalem. So now they're heading, by the way, where did the Magi go when they went to see the child? Did they go to Bethlehem immediately? Where did they go? They went to Jerusalem. And now the planets lined up. Yeah, let's start again. Okay, now that's my opinion. But I think it's just fascinating. A little bit of Bible, a little bit of my opinion came in here. And I read this and I literally went, wow, it makes sense. I love it when the Bible proves history. You know how many times we say history proves the Bible? The Bible is right, is it not? I love it when the Bible proves history. It's great. Here you have these wise men that are told for 500 years that the coming of the Messiah is going to be. It's going to come as a result of the star. It's going to come about. The star happens. What do? They do what I would have done. Let's go see this baby. I mean, who loves babies? Who loves announcing babies? It's just an amazing thing. It's so unfortunate that we're in the middle of this coronavirus. We had like, 4 or 5 babies in the church during this coronavirus. One of my favorite things to do as a pastor is to be able to go in there and hold your babies. I love it. After Paula gets done holding them first. Who loves babies? And so here you have these wise men that go to the town of Bethlehem that's about the size of a Menden, by the way. That's why it was easy for the shepherds to find the baby. They'd walk in there, hey, there was a baby born. Anybody know where the baby was born? Now, when Menden has a baby, do people know it? Most of the time, okay? Because Menden, everybody knows what's going on. Also, you have to understand the communal type of village that it was. That it just wasn't like a Menden. Everything was centered around a courtyard and everybody ate there and that type of stuff. So when you get the Magi go, they see Herod. Herod, the biblical scholar says it's going to be Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem. Where is the baby born about a year ago? Oh, that would have been Joseph and Mary. And there they live on, Baby Street or whatever else. And they go up and there the baby is. And they get down and they worship. All right. So there are some lessons I want us to learn about this, and I want to talk about it briefly today. Consider the legacy that you leave. What do I mean by that? So here you have Daniel, 500 years before, that set the stage for the Magi to see the coming of Jesus. Don't ever underestimate the legacy that you leave for your children. Or if you don't have children, for those around you. I think about that as I live in Mercer County. And Mercer County is a very interesting county because you've got roads that are named after the people who actually live there. Hellworth Road. Of course, they live off a little bit off of that road, but Hellworth Road. You've got Stose and some Stoses that live on Stose Road. You've got Haney and some Haneys that live on Haney Road. When I moved here, you have Dunton Road that's just up here. Okay, we spell it differently, but that is my relation. I actually wanted to live on that road to say Dunton lives on Dunton Road. And I think about that. So here we have this the heritage that's passed down by a road. But I even do that when I walk cemeteries, because I look at the names and I always ask myself, who are they? What did they do? What is significant about them? Never underestimate the legacy that you leave. My family came from Worcester, Massachusetts. We traveled through this area about 160 years ago. My family went to Huntertown, Indiana. We were involved in Huntertown, Indiana, establishing that town. Found out later the reason why we came. We left Massachusetts was not for farmland, but we moved so that we could be part of the Underground Railroad. So I think about that. What did my family do? Who did they put in their house? Who did they hide from other people? And I think, what significant thing did they do? Who are they today? Who are the children of them today? Well, many of us will never know. But then I think about the church and the legacy that is in the church. Do you know who the greatest legacy givers in the church are? It's not the pastor. It's you Sunday school teachers. You leave a legacy of these children that will last for generations. The most significant spiritual person in my life in my growing up years was my Sunday school teacher. Her name was Elizabeth Johnson. We had a real small church, and we would sit on the front pews as a bunch of wiggly old junior hires and senior hires, acted like we weren't paying attention, but she loved us and she shared the word of God with us. And I look at Elizabeth, she's gone now. That the legacy, you are enjoying the legacy of Elizabeth Johnson right now. So Sunday school teachers understand that, because you're saying, what good am I doing? You are doing good. You are leaving a legacy. I have never seen a church like this that has such a strong CE program when it goes to the children. Because you are teaching the children Bible. When they go into junior church and they come out, they know Bible. That's what we need more than anything else, is Bible. These kids have got to know that. And that's the legacy that we're leaving for our children here. So I commend you. I commend you, all of you who are involved with that. So go back a little bit. So here's the wise man, and for 500 years, they're being told over and over again, look for it, look for it, look for it. It's coming. Look for it. Look for it. How we can pass those things aside, because we've been looking for the second coming of Jesus for over 2,000 years. How it's easy to pass those aside. Look for it, and then it's happening. It's happening. The planets come together. It's here. Let's go. Takes a while to get there. What happens? Planets align again. Never underestimate the legacy that you leave. Next, consider the blessing. I put that we leave, but I should probably consider the blessing that we give. So the wise men come, and they finally find where Mary and Joseph are, and the baby Jesus are, and they come in and they give him three gifts: gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Gold referring to royalty, myrrh referring to the death that Jesus was going to have. It was used in the embalming process. And frankincense is spiritual, referring to the deity of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual incense. By the way, I was looking it up one time what the value of frankincense is. The Catholic Church uses 50 tons of frankincense a year. You ever been to a Catholic service and they got the frankincense and stuff? They use 50 tons of it a year. Wow. So, never underestimate the power of blessing. What do I mean by the power of blessing? Very simply this. When a father blesses his children, or a mother blesses his children, you are foretelling a future for them. You understand what I mean? Bless you, my son. You're going to go far. You're going to accomplish much for the Lord. They used to do that in the Old Testament. You know that? The father would come and bless his children. Or he would lift them up and say, there's much that you're going to accomplish. Men, I want to really encourage you. And women, I want to encourage you in this area. It is easy to find what your children are doing wrong. But bless them. Bless them. Lift them up. I made sure, even though there were times I could have killed my children, but I also made sure there were times that I would walk with my children and we would talk about your plans, your future, and what you can do. Same thing in the church. Do you know that in the church, we are blessed in the church? Look at the names that are given to the church. You are my brother. That means we're related. You know that? Spiritually related. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You are saints. That means you're set apart for God. You're a believer. You're a friend of God. You're the elect. The Bible talks about you're the bride of Christ. You're the children of God. You're a Christian. You're a disciple. I mean, that should pump you up a little bit. Kind of reminds me of boot camp a little bit. Yeah, in boot camp they would tear you down, but eventually they put in your head that we are an American soldier and we are the best in the world and we are going to and we will. And by the time you get done with the drill sergeant's pep talk, you're going, yeah, which way should I go? Yeah, because you're all excited because you've been pumped up. That's what a blessing does. Bless your children. They got enough negativity going around in the world. Now, does it mean that I don't point out what they're doing wrong? Yes, you've got to point out what they're doing wrong. You've got to guide them. You've got to direct them, but bless them as well. Just as a pastor should be blessing the church as well. The next one is consider the aid that we give. So they were given gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Then something happened. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We don't talk much about this in the Christmas story, but it's an important part. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, the Magi had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So they got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Now, that's why I say I think Jesus was about a year old, because I'm sure Herod's going to say, well, let's add a little bit, you know, let's add a little bit to it just to make sure that we get it. So they go into the region of Bethlehem, and they murder all the children that are 2 years old and younger, because Herod was very jealous at the time. It does raise the question, why did God allow that? There's a lot of things I don't know. I cannot tell you how many times I just go, I don't know. I just don't know. When Herod realized that he'd been out, then this fulfilled what was said by the prophet Jeremiah, verse 18. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are there no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. What do I mean by consider the aid that we give? How did Mary and Joseph live when they left Bethlehem and went to Egypt? How did they survive? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Right now, gold is valued at $1,884 an ounce. Myrrh is $1,600 to $1,900 an ounce at the time of Jesus. Frankincense is $6,000 a liter at the time of Jesus. I don't know how much was given to him, but we can say that he was given enough. I read some commentators that said 300 wise men showed up, not just three. We don't know how many wise men showed up. And some commentators said that Jesus was given the equivalence of $3 million. I don't know. We just know that it was enough to take care of Jesus as he went into Egypt. Never underestimate the power of the gift that you give. Many of the gifts that you give, you'll never know the impact in this life. I know we gave to the mission in Detroit for a while, and once again, we won't know the impact. Chad and Doris might be able to tell us some of the impact, but we will never see the total impact of that. Or any other organization or whatever else that we give. KHM is a prime example. This area is so unique because we got KHM in the schools. And the kids that are being affected by that, what we may never know the impact of the aid that was given. A number of years ago, I went to a conference in Fort Wayne. And while I was there, they had a video of a lady named Mary who came from the Sudan area. Her parents were Muslim. And she started to dabble into Christianity, eventually became a Christian, and would hide the Bible in her house. And one day, her father came home from a Muslim mission work. And while he was in the house, he collapsed and he died. Mary said, I went downstairs and said, Jesus, if you are real, I pray that you will bring life back to him. And placed hands on him and he came back to life, according to her, came back to life. Eventually, her brothers found her Bible. And becoming very angry, they started to beat her. And in it, she says, I am a Christian, and Jesus rose my dad, your father, back up from the dead. And they beat her even more, to the point that they were going to kill her, and she said she ran out of the house And right then a van showed up and opened up the door. She jumped into the van and they took her to a Christian mission somewhere in Sudan. In that Christian mission, if it's the one I'm thinking of, they would teach her how to live and earn a living, such as sewing and whatnot, and how to do agriculture and that type of stuff. And when I was watching the video, she was talking about her children. And she named one of her children Marta. At that point, I literally went, "You have got to be kidding." Marta and Demi were Ethiopian senators under Haile Selassie, and they were exiled and they came to the Fort Wayne area. And while they were there in Fort Wayne, they established missions in the Sudanese area, and where they were teaching Christians how to farm and how to earn a living. Marta and Demi was their names, and when they said Marta, I literally go, "Oh my goodness." And the reason why I also say that is because my grandfather was highly involved with that as well. You never know the legacy that you leave and the aid and the impact of the aid that you give. She was saved because of aids other people gave. Jesus says in Matthew 25, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Everything that we do it for Jesus. We leave that legacy for people can look for that star, or we bless the children, or we give the aid that is needed so they can go to Egypt. Or we give that aid so that other people can hear Jesus. It's an amazing thing when you see it all come together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. You've given us a chance to worship and honor you. But we also thank you for the star that gives us hope. The star that points us to Jesus. Help us always to remember, O Lord, that everything that we do and everything that we say leaves a legacy. And help us to give that aid so other people can come to know you. We thank you and honor you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.